Welcome to Law You Should Know. The law affects every aspect of our lives, our home, our jobs, and our recreational activities. Now you can learn about the law and how to protect yourself against the loss of your liberty or property. Learn how to stand up for your rights and seek compensation when you have been wronged. Your host for Law You Should Know is attorney Kenneth J. Landau with the Mineola Law Firm of Shane, Doc, Stanisi, and Corker. He's a member of the Committee on Professional Ethics of the Bar Association of Nassau County and counsel to the Nassau Academy of Law. And now, here is your host for Law You Should Know, attorney Kenneth J. Landau.
Hi, this is Ken Landau, and welcome to Law You Should Know. Today we're going to discuss a very important topic, the succession rights of tenants. And you'll find out exactly what that is in a moment. And our guest is landlord-tenant attorney Linda Resnowicki, and she has offices in Manhattan and concentrates in the area of representing landlords or tenants or co-ops. And landlord-tenant laws is sort of a specialty in a niche, and it can be very complicated. And that's why I've consulted someone to be our guest who's very experienced in the field. Linda, welcome back to Law You Should Know.
Thank you, Ken. It's good to be here.
Why are succession rights of tenants so important?
Well, the succession rights are succession to rent-stabilized or rent-controlled apartments. And we all know how valuable it is to be a rent-stabilized tenant or rent-controlled tenant. Succession rights is the process by which the occupant of the apartment steps into the shoes of the leaseholder, of the tenant. And there are certain circumstances when that's possible.
And we're going to discuss those in a moment. So the alternative is that you get evicted or that you get a big rent increase.
Well, if you are not, if you don't have succession rights, or the landlord challenges that fact, you know, after, let's say, the tenant passes away, the landlord will bring what's called a licensee holdover proceeding against the remaining occupant. What that means is that you were the deceased tenant's guest, and your permission to stay in the apartment ended when that tenant passed away. So, sorry, get out of my apartment.
Right. So this generally assumes that this other person or people are not on a lease.
Right. The person, the occupant seeking succession rights, needs those succession rights because he or she is not on the lease.
Okay, so, and even if you inherit property under the will, you don't necessarily automatically inherit the right to stay in an apartment.
Well, you know, we're talking about, that might be true of a condominium apartment. You could pass that down through a will, but not a rent-stabilized or rent-controlled apartment. Your trust and estates attorney, you know, the attorney who helps you with your will or your trust, will hopefully know enough to refer you to a tenant attorney and who will help you plan to achieve succession rights for your son, your daughter, whoever it is, your stepson, your stepdaughter, whoever it is that you want to protect.
And just before we go into some of the steps you can take to prevent, to plan it out and be in the best possible position should the named leaseholder die, or steps or some of the requirements that you can use to defeat or fight an action by the landlord, just remind us why being in a rent-stabilized or rent-controlled apartment is so important. Those protections are so important.
Well, just in sum, you know, a rent-stabilized or rent-controlled tenant is entitled to remain in the apartment. There are very limited circumstances where the landlord can evict such a tenant.
Okay.
So they have a place to live for life.
So they have an automatic right of renewal, and the increases are going to be regulated, and they're usually generally pretty low, and based on the rent you're already paying.
Right. So a rent-stabilized tenant. So now the most recent Rent Guidelines Board order says a one-year lease is increased by 1.5% and a two-year lease is increased by 2.5%. That's very, very low. And so you have a right to remain so long as you behave yourself, and you have the right to low rent increases. So it's great. Most of us know, you know, just from living in New York City or Nassau County, how great it is.
Okay, I just want to mention that what if the named tenant does not pass away, but let's say they move or they buy other rental, or they're moved to a long-term care facility or in a nursing home, if you do this right, can you still remain in the apartment?
Well, what you're talking about is a permanent vacatur. That's the term of art, permanent vacatur.
Okay.
So, you know, the tenant leaves never to return. And leaving an occupant in the apartment. That's how it comes about, you know. And what you could plan is before, the tenant usually knows that they're going to leave. You know, sometimes there could be unfortunate incident of sudden death or something of that sort. But oftentimes, the tenant knows that they're going to permanently vacate.
For good or for bad? For something good or for bad? Or a change of circumstances?
For a bad reason, for a good reason, a lucky reason, unlucky reason. And they come to me with their son or their daughter and they say, Linda, help us plan this. What should we do? What should we not do?
Okay, so tell us, what are some things that they can do to plan the succession in that apartment as a tenant?
Well, what's rewarded is by keeping paper is rewarded in this instance. You know, most of us like to throw away paper, but those who keep papers are the lucky ones here. And the papers I'm talking about in particular are tax returns, especially New York State tax returns, magazines that have an address label addressed to the tenant and or to the occupant at the apartment, voting records that I can obtain from the Board of Elections. Let's see. I made a list somewhere.
If you got bills?
Yeah, landline telephone bills, cell phone bills, addressed to either the tenant or the occupant at the subject premises.
And I think you mentioned driver's licenses or driver automobile insurance or registration.
Right.
And even a non-driver bills. ID or a city ID?
Right, New York City ID, credit card statements, bank account statements, and if you're fortunate enough to have put away some money, investment company statements. Easy pass records are even important if you have a car. Perhaps you've kept paper appointment books, or you can print out your Outlook calendar to show what appointments you had that they were, that your doctor is located near your apartment, and that's the sort of paper that the occupant and the tenant ought to be keeping. So once the occupant and the tenant meet with me, I will tell them, find those papers, keep them. If you don't have them, if you've thrown them away, then write to MasterCard or Visa or American Express and get them to send a letter. Yes, you have been my customer for 10 years at... okay. And I've sent bills to you at such and right. such an address.
And Linda, if you have an online, if you have the records online or bills online, you probably want to print out those bills.
Yes. What I'm not sure about is whether those online bills will have any address on them.
They might, and they might have a date on them too. In any event,
I'm not sure.
So the protections we talk about, are they for family members, you know, blood relatives, or someone else, or a spouse? Yeah.
There's three categories of people who might, let's say, inherit a rent-stabilized apartment. A spouse, a closely related family member, or a non-traditional family member. So let me start with spouse. What's really special about a spouse is that there needn't be a two-year period of living together before the spouse gets succession rights. From the inception of the relationship, I mean, if you get married today and tenant dies next week, spouse gets succession rights. And also, the court is not permitted to inquire into whether that marriage is valid or a sham or any such thing.
How do you prove you're married, though? You need a marriage certificate or
a marriage license?
A
certificate, a marriage license, yes. And, you know, you would, that's what you would need. That's all. And, you know, you might, under some circumstances, if you want to drive home the point, show, in one case, I showed photographs of the wedding and the people who attended the wedding because I wanted to drive the point home. But that was really over the top.
So that's that's the shortest time period of succession. It could be earlier that day.
Right. You know.
Okay. And the time really goes, so... I just want to talk about related relatives. Let's take the next category.
Okay, closely related relatives. Close relations are husband, wife, son, daughter, stepson, stepdaughter, father, mother, stepfather, stepmother, brother, sister, grandfather, grandmother, grandson, granddaughter, father-in-law, mother-in-law, son-in-law, or daughter-in-law. Those are the closely related family members. It used to be aunt, uncle, nephew, niece, but they got dropped, unfortunately, in 1997. The law changed. Now, and the third category of person who might get succession rights is the non-traditional family member.
Okay, and that's a very broad and more important category. And we have to take a short break now, and after the break, we'll let you explain that category a little bit more. We're talking to attorney Linda Resnicki, and she is a landlord-tenant attorney and expert in succession by tenants and any other issues concerning landlords or tenants or co-ops. You're listening to Law You Should Know on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, and also on the internet at nccradio.org. We'll be back in a moment.
This portion of programming on WHPC is brought to you on behalf of the Nassau County Bar Association, who wants you to know about ADR, Alternate Dispute Resolution, which can help you avoid costly, lengthy, and uncertain litigation in court. By resolving disputes through mediation or arbitration, it gives you control over who decides your case. A mediator helps all parties to reach an agreement they can live with, or an arbitrator selected by the parties hears and decides the case. Your attorney can still represent you, but you control who decides your case. ADR is fast and less stressful than fighting in court, and it is a great way to resolve divorce, employment, or commercial disputes. ADR is now offered through the Nassau County Bar Association. Find out more about how ADR can help resolve your dispute by calling 516-747-4070 or visit nassaubar.org.
Once again, we continue with Law You Should Know. From the Mineola Law Firm of Shane, Doc, Stanisi, Corker, and Sauer, here is attorney Kenneth J. Landau.
Hi, this is Ken Landau, and welcome back to Law You Should Know. We're talking about the succession rights of tenants in apartments that are rent-controlled or rent-stabilized in New York City or Nassau County, and our guest is Linda Reznor-Wicki. She's a landlord or tenant attorney and also represents co-ops. Her offices are in Manhattan. She's very knowledgeable about succession rights of tenants. Linda, before the break, you were telling us about related relatives who may get the benefit of staying in the apartment. For those relatives, is there a time period?
Yes, it's very important to discuss time periods. 2 years is the general time period. Each person, the tenant and the family member, must occupy the apartment as their primary residence for 2 years.
And you might be able to do that by tax returns or other those methods of proof that you mentioned earlier.
Right. It could be only 1 year if the person who, the occupant who is seeking succession rights is a senior citizen that is 62 years or older or is disabled. So that time period could be reduced to 1 year.
Okay. I know it's very complicated, and you've helped tenants fight eviction proceedings or plan succession of the apartment. So you're available for that, and your website has additional information about that, and we'll give it out shortly. I just want to turn to the last category, which is non-traditional family members. Tell us who that could be and what the rules are.
Well, the first non-traditional family members were two gay men. In 1989, there was a case called Brashi versus Stahl that was decided by the New York State Court of Appeals. Now, remember, in 1989, marriage wasn't legal in New York State. It wasn't legal in New York State until 2011. So the man whose name was on the lease passed away, and his life partner successfully asserted his right to inherit the apartment. What this gentleman proved is that the two men were emotionally and financially committed to each other and dependent upon each other. The word interdependent is often used.
Okay, so let me just ask, if you're in a gay relationship, is it better to get married in New York or another state that recognizes it and have that marriage certificate?
That would be the best thing to do, but it wasn't available until 2011.
But now, is it better to do that? Will help you if you've done that now. You'll have less
Absolutely.
Of a burden, and you don't have to occupy the apartment for 2 years.
Absolutely. I have had people come to me and tell me my financial planner says we shouldn't get married, that it is not financially advantageous for us to marry. My tax preparer says we shouldn't get married. So I don't know what that's about. I'm not a tax person. But there might be reasons why people prefer not to marry.
But and you could you can still assert this if you're not married, but you'll have to prove it, and you'll need
That's right, you'll need that two-year period. This emotional and financial business.
Okay, so does it extend beyond, you know, gay couples?
Absolutely. You could have an older woman and a younger woman living together as if, you know, in very much a mother-daughter type relationship, two men living together, very much like brothers who take care of each other. You know, and any combination that
so
this, you can
so
think
this
of.
Could also be uncles or cousins or other people that would not qualify under the other categories.
Very good. Yeah, absolutely. An uncle and a nephew could, for example, qualify as, you know, this in this third category of non-traditional family member, even though they don't qualify as traditional family
members. And what if two people were like brothers or like close sisters or like brother and sister? They meet the requirements that you'll come to, that you'll give us in a moment. Could they possibly qualify?
Yes, certainly. You know, but it depends on the, on, let's see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 factors that the court will consider. How long has the relationship been in existence? Do people share household and other expenses? Do they share household duties? Do they intermingle their finances? Do they engage in family type activities? In other words, every Christmas they have their Christmas party and they sit together and together prepare the meal and invite people. They hold out themselves to the public, maybe in church or synagogue, as family members. They
so it doesn't have to be marriage. It could be you know, like siblings or like relatives.
Right.
Okay.
And the last category is they formalize their legal obligations. They have wills naming each other as the person to inherit. They have powers of attorney naming each other. They have medical health care proxies naming each other as the person with the right to make decisions for the other. And any other pattern or behavior, you know.
Okay. Linda, I know you have so much information about this topic, and we have limited time. But I just want to move on to the very important point that, and one other factor that's not important is sex. Tell us why.
Right. The court, I don't know, maybe the court is not interested in knowing whether the two people, like the two gay men, for example, I talked about in the beginning, not interested in knowing whether or not they engage in any sexual relationship.
Whoever's in the apartment, whatever category it is, sex doesn't matter.
No, the presence or absence of the sexual relationship doesn't matter at all to the court. The court won't hear it.
Okay, we have to move on. Now, there are things you can do and things you help your clients do in planning. So tell us, under what circumstances the tenant should inform the landlord in writing by certified mail and what they should say.
Right. There are two ways you can go about it. You could write a letter to your landlord. The tenant would write a letter to the landlord saying, "My daughter Mary has been living with me since such and such a year, and she occupies this apartment as her primary residence. And you know, I am hoping when I pass on that she may remain as the successor tenant." You could write a letter, or the Division of Housing and Community Renewal of the State of New York has a form for this purpose if you don't want to write a letter. It's form RA-23.5. It has a long title, notice to owner of family members residing with the named tenant in the apartment who may be entitled to succession rights, okay, protection from eviction.
Okay, so if someone, Linda, we're just running very short on time, but they should mail one copy to the landlord, whether it's the letter or the form, by certified mail, return receipt requested.
Right.
To make sure the landlord gets that and send another copy by regular mail.
Right.
Just tell us about your website.
Oh, my website can be found at www.landlordtenantlaw.net, LandlordTenantLaw.net.
Okay, you mentioned about the records before. So any other examples you'd like to mention very briefly?
Let's see. Well, you know, what I'd like to say is, you know, it's very important to show, you know, when you live in an apartment, you generally do your grocery shopping nearby. You generally get cash from a bank nearby or use a drugstore nearby. And hopefully you're using a credit card. Well, you would show the landlord, if you're trying to persuade the landlord to accept the occupant as a successor tenant, you would show all of those activities in the neighborhood. That's very important.
Okay. And also, if you paid some of the expenses, the household expenses, some utility bills, cable bills for that apartment, it's probably good to have your name on the cable bill.
Right. That's a good idea.
Now, I just want to mention something you should not do is forge the relative's name on a lease if they should pass away, or try to pay money in their name.
Right. Don't lie to your landlord. You might be afraid. Tenants might be afraid of their landlords, and then they sneak around.
Okay.
And
Linda, we're running out of time. Just remember, you can plan in advance, follow the suggestions Linda gave you, or you consult with her or find out more information on your website. Or if you haven't done the planning, you do have a right to fight an eviction proceeding if you can produce the evidence that Linda has mentioned. Linda, very quickly, your website one more time.
www.landlordtenantlaw.net.
Okay.
Thank you, Ken.
I'd like to thank Linda Rezo Wicky, a landlord-tenant attorney in Manhattan, for being our guest. Keep in mind, whatever you've heard is presented as information only. You must get legal advice pertaining to your own situation from a qualified attorney. If you missed any portion of the program, by searching WHPC on iTunes or Spreaker.com, that's Spreaker, you can find a free podcast of the program. Please join us next week at this same time for another program of Law You Should Know on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, or on the web at nccradio.org.